Welcome back to the China Hands. This is Qingling. Let's jump right back into the interview with Professor Dawei.
What I'd love to ask as well is any exchanges over the last 5 years that you participated in that you found especially meaningful. I have been in Beijing now since about September 2022, and I also saw that the exchanges basically went to a complete standstill. But around the winter, as you mentioned, the second half of 2023, I've seen them really bloom again. And I think, for instance, your Center of International Security and Strategy really well played a pivotal role in that as well. For instance, I was recently at a meeting, a panel titled The Road Ahead for US-China Academic Exchange, co-hosted by your center and UPenn Global. And I found it extremely insightful. And it was fantastic to see that such a delegation of the leadership of the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania could come again to China. Similarly, I met with a delegation at SUSEF, Columbia SIPA initiative, who I think was also at your center, and they also visited the Engineering Academy. I think it shows examples of academic exchanges, which have been going now again. And I was wondering then, perhaps beyond APEC 2023, because so many people already discussed that, do you have examples of exchanges which you found very meaningful? And feel free to mention as many as you'd like, perhaps some say a decade ago, 5 years ago, or just a few weeks ago. Do you have any examples you found especially meaningful, impactful for the way that you perceive the relations, or just impactful for other reasons beyond personal?
I can give you an example. For example, last October, we had we call it the People's Dialogue. We have an event titled the People's Dialogue in New York City. That was something we organized with National Committee of U.S.-China Relations. Before that dialogue happened, many participants had not all of participants were, you know, the China-U.S. experts. Most of them were just, for example, entrepreneur or a teacher. Or we also have some blue collar workers. So not all of them have a lot of international experience. So they had some concerns before the dialogue that maybe they will have, when they talk to the other side's interlocutor, maybe it will, dialogue could be turn out to be unhappy or uncomfortable or too heated. I think they have this kind of concern. After 2 days dialogue in New York, I think many of the Chinese and American interlocutor came to realize that actually, even though the bilateral relations has been deteriorated, their dialogues between the people, between the professionals, I think I would say majority of the content of the dialogue are the same with that of 10 years ago. So people, after that, people became more brave, I would say. So they said that why we didn't broadcast it or make it more publicity. I think as an organizer at that time, I worried that maybe this kind of dialogue could be controversial, no matter it's for China and for the US, so we need to be more careful. But after its successful meeting last October, I think no matter the organizers or the participants, all of us has been quite confident and also enthusiastic for the future cooperation. I mean, this in-person, people-to-people, the face-to-face communication can change your idea, can change your thoughts, and of course, deepen the understanding of the two sides.
I think that's really beautiful and something I experience myself every day in China. I also want to ask, do you also have examples of dialogues you participated in earlier in your career, which really impacted you? You mentioned, for instance, the senior people-to-people dialogue in 2012. Do you have examples of Any others you found particularly impactful on the way that you perceive US-China relations?
Yeah, I think, what all my experience, all my expertise, I will say, was built by this people to people, face to face contact. Without those kind of communication, I don't think I can understand the United States well. And many of my knowledge was also, I mean, my knowledge in this area has always been built during the conversation with American counterparts. Sometimes I talk to scholars, sometimes I talk to diplomats. Those kind of interaction has always been very interesting and helpful. Sometimes I have several friends, for example, I know for a very long time when they work in the Chinese embassy, the American embassy in Beijing. So we got to know each other. Then later, my interlocutor, they moved to the government. And then they sometimes, after several years, they left the government, worked in the private sector. So I can see, I can understand, I noticed that their knowledge about China and the international affairs has been increased a lot during those years. At the same time, I myself become more matured, I think, in this interaction with the American interlocutors. So I can feel this growth of your power, and I think this is the P2P means.
And if I may ask a short follow-up on that, how do you think your perspective on the US would have been if it weren't for these type of exchanges? If you would not have been able to go to the US throughout your career, or at least not as often, how do you think that, or would not have traveled so extensively through, say, an America's also than the middle part of the country, which is so often sadly forgotten? How do you think your perspective would have been if you would have not had these experiences, which we seem to be at the risk of for so many Chinese and American students?
Without those experiences, without those travels and talks, we may have made many mistakes. For example, I think this kind of communication has an important function of to make you to understand that the other side is as normal as you. It's they are normal people. I said that earlier. And all the government agencies that for this kind of interaction, if you just do your research from the books, you may think the other side is a unified, monolithic player, and they have a grand strategy, and they for guiding the country for a very long time. And once they made the decision, they will implement that effectively. I think this is a mindset you I think you if you only read the other country from literature, very likely you will have that kind of and believe or exaggerate the other side's power, and also underestimate their goodwill, and at the same time exaggerate their bad will. So with this people tie, I think one of its role is to correct the wrong understanding of you, to make you understand that the other side is human being. They are not a mystery. That will make has already made my research, I think, more accurate than in the condition that I don't have this kind of interaction.
I couldn't agree more with you. I had the exact same experience coming to China. Due to COVID, did a virtual exchange semester at Peking University, and afterwards started my master's studies in person. But the year before, during my virtual exchange semester, I only was able to read about China instead of engaging with the Chinese people. And when coming here, it's almost like if you just read the material, you forget that a country is a place filled with individual people with individual dreams and ideas. And you only really, I think, can see that and understand that and really how it flows by being there. And I think that's beautifully said. Thank you.
This is China Hands. Thanks for listening.